the quandary of real estate in 2024. I'm David Brancaccio. In just a few minutes, we'll find out how many homes got sold in March at a time the housing market is more illiquid than is normal, with an explanation. Here's Drew Mattis, Chief Market Strategist at MetLife Investment Management.
What happened was mortgage rates went up very quickly, and then people kind of said, oh, well, wait it out. Maybe mortgage rates will come back down. And so you saw a real big decline in the number of homes being sold, both new homes and existing homes. And we want to see that loosening up a little bit.
I mean, many parts to this, right? I mean, it's not just, well, it'll be expensive if I buy a newer house. It's also people who have super cheap, low interest mortgages. And maybe they want to move, or there's a good reason to move, but they're like, I don't know about the more expensive borrowing.
Well, yeah. So a lot of people who are current homeowners don't want to move. And so it's getting in the way of those people who don't want to move because they've got the low mortgage rate, but maybe have to move. But then the fact that those people aren't actually moving, right, out of their maybe their starter home into a bigger home is kind of clogging up the works for the people who would like to move out of an apartment into a starter home. So you really want to see these new home sales begin to pick up, because that'll probably mean they're moving from somewhere, and that creates, you know, more housing space for everyone else.
All right. Well, the prediction is that it will pick up. We'll see if the data actually bears that out. Drew Mattis, he's the Chief Market Strategist at MetLife Investment Management. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stock in the social media company Trump Media and Technology Group is up 0.7% now, but it's still below $36 a share. That's down 29% from its price at launch about a month ago. But the New York Times is reporting that stock performance targets were set low enough for former president and biggest shareholder Donald Trump to now be eligible for a $1 billion cash windfall from this. We get quarterly results from electric vehicle and battery maker Tesla later today. Tesla was a magnificent seven company, Apple, Meta, Amazon, and more firms that did so well last year. But Tesla's been knocked back on its heels by stiff competition, especially from China and South Korea, and it's cutting prices and moving to lay off workers. Tesla's stock is down nearly 43% since New Year's. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
Tesla's financial results will be the big show on Wall Street today.
The stakes are very high.
That's Garrett Nelson at CFRA Research.
The stock price is now down over 40% after a year in which the stock price more than doubled.
Tesla struggled to ramp up production of its new Cybertruck, which faces a safety recall. And as consumer demand for EVs has slowed, Tesla has cut prices, hurting profit margins. Meanwhile, the global EV market that Tesla once dominated is now crowded.
There is quite stiff competition, and Tesla is being squeezed on both ends.
At the low end, Gernot Wagner at Columbia Business School says China's BYD is cranking out workaday EVs for under $20,000.
At the high end, there are dedicated EV companies like Rivian. Porsche, you can buy literally a $100,000 vehicle by a company that consumers trust.
Tesla still has some advantages. It's a global leader in battery technology and operates an extensive network of vehicle chargers. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We watch one movie a month for Econ Extra Credit. It's The League, about baseball's Negro Leagues this time, which flourished amid the segregation of the first half of the 20th century.
So black businesses come into being in that period of time, found it for themselves out of their own resources, black schools, and baseball, too.
We pick up the story after the stock market crash of 1929. One of the voices in the documentary is Bob Kendrick, president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Missouri. Mr. Kendrick, welcome.
Well, thanks so much for having me on the show. It's an honor.
So many Americans were facing so much hardship during the Great Depression, but for already disadvantaged communities, it was even harder. How did the Negro League outfits respond?
Black baseball had such a tremendous ride from its formation when Rube Foster established the Negro Leagues in 1920. And then it was almost like the perfect storm for the Negro Leagues. Rube Foster gets sick and subsequently passes away. You know, in and around 1930, the Great Depression occurs. And by 1933, though, Gus Greenlee, who would own the Pittsburgh Crawfords, comes back and, in essence, revitalizes the Negro Leagues. And he really kicks it off with the creation of the East-West All-Star Classic. So it debuts the same year as Major League Baseball's All-Star Game, 1933. And as I remind folks, yes, it did outdraw Major League Baseball's own All-Star Game.
Also adding energy during this time is barnstorming, right?
Of course. And that's how the Negro Leagues were kind of still able to survive during those difficult and challenging times. But barnstorming remained a prevalent part. Well, number one, it had always been a prevalent part of how folks got to see players from the Negro Leagues, because the Negro Leagues were heralded barnstormers. And I remind folks all the time that through barnstorming, the Negro Leagues helped grow the fan base for baseball, because they were literally taking baseball to communities that had never seen professional baseball. You know, folks knew that this was a high caliber brand of baseball, and they put it on display. And as a result, they were helping grow the game in the process.
Lot of excellence on display, a lot of energy, as we say, but the streets were not paved with gold. Watching this documentary film, you see Hall of Famer Hank Aaron talking about life was kind of hard there in the Negro Leagues, especially on the road.
Oh, it was challenging. And really, the challenges came as they were traveling the highways and byways of this country. They could ride into a town, fill up the ballpark, but yet not be able to get a meal from the same fans who had just cheered them, or not have a place to stay. So yes, they would sleep on the bus and eat their peanut butter and crackers until they could get to a place that might offer them basic services. But as I remind our guests here at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, they never allowed that set of social circumstances to kill their love of the game. I'm going to keep playing ball. You can't rob me of this joy of playing baseball.
Bob Kendrick is president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum on East 18th Street in Kansas City, Missouri. He is featured prominently in the documentary we're watching this month called The League. Mr. Kendrick, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. It was an absolute pleasure.
The doc is on Hulu or rentable from a variety of streaming sources. Sign up for our free weekly newsletter using marketplace.org/econextracredit. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.